Hello, sexy nerds of the Nerd Imperium. Welcome to another episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We are your inner conclave of nerdom. My name is Diz, and I am your pop culture and sports nerd, Ali.
I am Ali, your classic nerd. V?
I heard what you guys said about me last week. What
did I say?
I heard what you guys fucking said.
I said, people are going to wonder why V's not here. You're like, how would they even know if V's not here?
Oh, I said that.
He doesn't even say anything.
That's true. I said you weren't here for Ramadan.
I'm going to kick you in your head after the end of this episode.
He made it worse. He's like, you can't get into Mecca. Yeah. All sorts of exclusionary shit, man.
It's true. You can't. Somehow, you're a better Muslim than me.
But so who are you, V?
What?
You better not say minutia nerd. I'll punch you in the face.
I haven't said minutia nerd in a while, actually.
Don't you dare.
I've been saying comic book nerd.
So you are?
I'm V Tran, and apparently I'm not allowed at Mecca.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's also very true.
Welcome back, Mr. Tran. Glad to have you.
Thank you very much.
For our listeners, we had a special off-air episode. I don't know what you want to call it. Basically say, hey, we got something new going on, and that is Head On History.
Head On History.
It's a new podcast sponsored by Currently Nerdy, hosted by yours truly. We'll have a new episode of that. By the time you're listening to this, a new episode should be going up. So if you haven't subscribed to Head On History, go check it out. It's really cool, really excited. First two seasons are dedicated to history of the Middle East and Islam, so that should be fun.
Yeah, the reason why I wasn't here was I was on my Hajj for Ramadan.
Yes. Ramadan, you don't go on Hajj during Ramadan.
Yeah. Yes, well, see, now the thing is, though, I wasn't allowed to do it anyway. And people weren't willing to educate me.
So you just went to Mecca.
If I had a podcast that could teach me more about Islamic history.
Well, Mr. Tran, if you were to subscribe to Head On History, you would become educated.
Shameless plug.
Why? The tagline of the podcast, the unofficial tagline, I should say, is a podcast a day keeps the Carson away.
Yeah, no, I heard that.
Messed up.
I texted you. I was like, you just threw shade at Ben Carson out of nowhere.
It's been buried for a while. It's been bubbling under the surface.
I know, man. It's been buried like that grain in the pyramid.
First the pyramid thing, then the slavery thing, then it's like, it's been a while. It's been a long time coming, so Ben Carson deserves.
Yeah, please don't be an Uncle Tamim.
Tamim?
Yeah. That's really offensive. That's super offensive.
Was there someone actually named Tamim that was like a sellout?
No, there wasn't.
Okay. Tamim is the generic version name of Tom.
So it's a generic. It's actually Tamim. It's Tim.
Tim, Tom.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. We don't have a Tom, do we?
Tamim.
Tamim is a Tim.
What would be my Afghan name?
I think just V.
No.
There's no V sounding
name. Yeah, you'd have an Indian name. It'd be like Vijay.
Yeah, there's no like Middle Eastern V.
Vikas.
What would Vikas. You name? Yeah, if you guys,
because in Arabic there is no V sound.
He would just be Wali.
And in Farsi, V's are either translated to F sounds or B sounds
or W.
So if you remember, we had a friend that couldn't say van, they would say wan.
Yeah, yeah.
Or vase, they'd say base or waste.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's because the V sound doesn't exist in either Farsi or in Arabic.
Anna, I got one for him. Wissam. That's an Arabic name.
No, I think your name would be Weiss.
Yeah, Weiss.
Weiss. Because it's close enough to V. It'd be Weiss.
That's a good name. I like that
Weiss
name.
Tran.
Weiss Tran. Well, how would you Arabicize Tran?
I have no idea.
Taurin.
Stop.
Right, what is Taurin? I don't even know why I'm going to ask.
No, I think
why were you laughing so hard at it?
I was looking at Ali and laughing. He understands.
Weiss is a good name.
Taurin.
Weiss Taurin. Yeah, no, I'd go with that.
Yeah.
Isn't that the stuff they put in Red Bull? Taurin.
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 Yeah. It's different than Taurin.
Yeah,
it's good because I'm high energy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The word that comes to mind when I describe you to people. How did you describe me? High energy.
Yeah,
energetic.
Effervescent. Effervescent, I've heard also.
That's a good word. Word of the day, effervescent.
Effervescent.
Effervescent. Hashtag currently nerdy word of the day.
I don't know what that means.
So, do y'all see the movies that have been coming out?
Yes.
I saw Guardians of the Galaxy.
So, I'm really behind. I'll be honest. I'm behind because I have grading to do, as you can see, by this pile of freaking papers in front of me.
Oh. Isn't that like every day for you?
No, the pile of books is every day. The pile of papers
is new.
Is grading.
Can't tell.
I'm finishing up.
So you have a little fort.
I have a little fort.
Ali has a little fort in his section. It's just all books and papers.
Books and papers. Yeah.
Seriously. It
covers them.
Hide behind it sometimes.
It's better for me that you have this because it's harder for you to hit me that way.
I'm a fort builder.
Yeah, you are.
I'm a nester. Have you even, like, I do that. Like, even when I'm studying, I get the blankets and the pillows around me. I nest and I I build forts.
Were you like a blanket fort or a pillow fort guy?
I was a blanket and pillow fort guy.
No, yeah, no, why wouldn't you use both? You use
the pillows for stability and the blankets for the
loot. In community, there was the blanket fort and the pillow fort. No,
you got to use both.
And they fought.
You got to build, you got to use the pillows as the foundation.
Yeah.
But the blankets could be the buttresses.
That's true.
Or the arcs.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. A good fort would combine both.
What was your fort? What was like the best name of one of your forts?
I didn't name them.
You didn't name your forts? You had to name them.
I didn't name them, but I made a lot of forts in my day. Did you make a lot of forts in your day?
Yeah, when I was younger.
Yeah.
Before we actually met.
I still do it.
When I was a kid, I was a big fort builder.
I never really made forts.
I make a little teepee sometimes.
No.
With my blanket.
I can't do that.
Study.
I get claustrophobic.
No, I like, I'm comfortable. I'm like a cat in that way. I like nesting and forts and little places to hide that's comfortable.
I like building. Yeah, I like building around a hearth.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it was kind of a
I'm not about that.
Especially like if I got my back to a wall, I want to build stuff around.
I even do that like when I play video games like RTSs, like StarCraft and stuff. I tend to build up my base before I go outwards.
So
like I have a strong defensive before I begin to actually expand.
So you are more like the character Ego from Guardians of the Galaxy. He was building his own planet.
Ego, yes, the living planet.
Yeah,
Ego, the living planet.
Yeah, I noticed because like when I realized that when he said his name was Ego, I was like, oh. That's
spoiler
weird.
Alerts to the record are in effect.
Yeah.
That was weird because like Ego has always been a bad guy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I always thought Ego was a bad guy too.
He is. Well, he's like a Galactus type figure, right? Where it's like he's consuming.
Yeah, he needs to consume worlds.
And in this one, they made
Ego. Ego's also the one that transported all the superheroes onto a planet to see, to test out what was the nature of good and evil, right?
Is that him? I feel like that might be him.
I think that was
a Celestial,
It was one of the Celestials.
Yeah.
I forgot which one it was, because it was like Spider-Man and a bunch of them, right?
Yeah. That's an interesting... Ego was always kind of a goofy looking, because it was just a planet with a big old face, right? And they gave him an homage
maybe
in the movie.
Maybe it wasn't Ego. Whatever.
I'm not really sure. I'm not... I wish I actually looked up more of the kind of the little snippets and everything, because there's a point that I'm wondering where it's like Rocket is going through like this like hyperdrive thing to like get to Ego.
Oh, yeah.
And they go through a planet where there's like someone whipping somebody, and I'm like, I was like, that has to be a reference to something, but I'm not sure because I don't know enough about the.
It was I forgot what it was.
The galaxy stuff.
I watched like one of those YouTube things where it's like 100 Easter eggs.
Well done for doing your homework.
Well, you didn't tell me we were doing a Guardians of the Galaxy episode.
Shame on you.
I watched it.
There was isn't Peter Quill's dad? Is it?
Yeah,
Ego's dad also.
Peter Quill's dad.
Ego
in
the movie is Quill's dad, which is weird because if you read,
it's not in the comic books.
It's not in the comic books. If you actually read the new Guardians, which came out a little while ago, Quill's dad is like the king of a galactic kingdom or something, right? You know, he's like the outlaw son to like the regal father type figure. Whereas this one, it's like he's got celestial, but that's why he can hold the stone, right? In the first movie, so that was the whole point behind that. And what they did with, I think that was interesting because they kind of what they did with Drax this one, they kind of made him he really wasn't Drax per se because he didn't really do the Drax the Destroyer type thing. He was just kind of laughing. He was like a comedic. He was more comedic effect than he was.
Yeah,
I think I heard the review of it that they overplayed Drax a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he was kind of he was surprisingly funny.
Yeah.
In the last one,
uh-huh.
And because he was a hit, they're like, oh, we're gonna do.
Yeah,
they
really jumped. They jumped on that a lot. Yeah,
and similar with Groot, right? Like they overdid Groot in this one, from what I hear.
I mean, they gave Groot a lot of stuff. Right, and a lot of it, I thought a lot of it
they made
was
him
like
too cutesy, though, right?
Well, they did because his baby grew, right? Yeah. And so they gave him a lot of this baby stuff, which is fine. But I feel like what they might have just tried to put too much on Groot's plate when Groot, in actuality, like it's like he did a lot to the story, but there was points where it's like, okay, you're wasting time on stuff that you don't really need to do.
Well, because even in the last one, when you see Groot as a plant, a baby plant, he's Groot but smaller.
Yeah.
And he's cute, but he's not
cutesy. No, he was just dancing.
Whereas in this one, he's got like softer features, little hands. Even he's more rounded, right? Yeah. And that's deliberately to make him cuter looking.
And they put out like little Groot dolls.
And I'm like, that's Disney-ifying.
Well, they made him like a little. They made him like chibi, right?
Yeah, they make him chibi or like a doll, which isn't what Groot looks like as a baby. He just looks like a plant.
Yeah,
as a baby. Even in the last one, he looks like a plant. And if you had just done that, that's still cute. But it's like this over cutesy.
I don't know. I enjoyed
trying to overcompensate.
I enjoyed all parts of the Guardians of the Galaxy. I didn't think they overdid it. Like,
I liked it a lot.
Like, so, like, yeah.
I think Guardians of the Galaxy will get old soon, though.
I don't know. Like, my favorite line was, like, why aren't you wearing that? I have sensitive nipples. Like, when Drax said that.
No, that's right in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. Well, because they kept, James Gunn kept trying to get that line in the first one.
Yeah.
And they kept cutting it out. So he made Batista say it like 18 times in this one. So they made sure they keep it at least
one time. He's the director. He can keep what he wants.
Yeah, but like it didn't fit. So like when they were editing it.
Yeah. But, like, incidentally, you know, the guy who's Yondu's like assistant, or Yondu's guy on the ship, the only one that doesn't get killed.
Uh-huh.
Right? That's Sean Gunn. That's James. That's the director's brother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he's also like he's a kind of a big hit in Gilmore Girls too. Oddly enough, like he plays a character in Gilmore Girls that everyone loves.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
Yondu is an interesting character because like he was an actual pirate-esque character, but yeah, then eventually he did Ravager. The whole Heart of Gold shit at the end.
Yeah, he does like the hardened Heart of Gold, or like you know like the hard outer shell.
Ready to
guy.
Kill them at one point.
Like Yondu's an interesting character, and you know they did a good thing with him. And the actor I really like. He actually played Henry Lee Lucas in Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer.
His first movie?
That might have been his first.
That's
movie.
That's his first movie. Yeah. He always
plays kind of rough characters.
Yeah, typically. It's a voice I think for him. He's the voice. Yeah.
What's his name? Michael something.
Oh, I don't remember.
Michael Cera.
What? No, that's the guy from fucking Superbad.
I don't know.
Do you see that meme actually with Michael Cera? It's like, what if Michael Cera just like walked in on a movie set and they just assumed he was an actor and he didn't want to make it awkward, so he just kind of went along with it.
You know that, like, I would think that that's a decent origin story for Michael Cera being an actor.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, he doesn't actually act.
Yeah.
He's just Michael Cera.
Well,
but the real story is that it was Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Right? Both Michael Cera and, what's his name, Jonah Hill. He picked characters that he would like to play with, like actually act with, and he really enjoyed both.
And they have like their own little cabal of like their own circle of actors. That
there's
they all
the
kind
older
of
cabal, right?
With the Freaks Seth and Geeks people,
right? And Seth Rogen, them, and then there's the James younger Franco. Cabal with his Jonah Hill, Michael Cera, etc. But together, they're all one crew.
Yeah.
They're just
the Judd Apatow crew.
Yeah, they're all Judd Apatow people. Crew. Yeah, and like Jason always, Siegel's in there and all that.
He
stuff.
He always
and,
taps like, them for like every movie. Like Jonah Hill's is like in what like 8 of his movies.
Yeah, him.
Even in like minor bits. Even in what's it called? Isn't Judd Apatow also a 40-year-old virgin?
Yeah, I think
Jonah
it
Hill?
Is.
Jonah Hill's in it. He's buying the fish shoes.
Yeah, remember?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's
people don't remember that. That
yeah,
he's actually
the fish
in
shoes.
That.
Yeah,
I forgot about that.
And then like Leslie Mann, because it's his wife, is in a lot
in
of the movies.
Movie,
you know, like yeah.
She's in that movie as well. She plays the drunk.
Yeah, she plays the drunk.
Yeah, shellfish sandwiches.
Yeah. The showerhead girl. No, that was Elizabeth Banks.
That's Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, it's like she was kind of in that circle with Seth Rogen too. Like she did Zack and Miri.
Yeah, kind of like
a couple little things here and there. Mm-hmm. I don't know. How would we get on this from Guardians of the Galaxy?
Something about James Gunn.
Yeah.
So your overall rating, yes, no?
I would say I would watch. I actually really liked it a lot. It's not – I found that a lot of Marvel movies can be pretty forgettable
now.
Wait,
who's the bad guy in this?
Ego.
Ego.
Oh, Ego's.
Yeah.
So Peter Quill's dad's the bad guy?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. They
don't make him seem like a bad guy in the trailer.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the point. I realized after a while because I think they were trying to set the Sovereigns. They were talking about – they really tried to kind of throw out that the Sovereigns were going to be the bad people, either that or Yondu, or a combination of the two.
Yeah, because I thought it was going to be the Sovereigns. It was the gold chick.
Yeah, they kind of play with it in the beginning, right? But it really kind of goes away. And then you're going, okay, Ego is just too, he's like too good, right?
What do they call her in this one?
Who?
Because her name is Her. She's Adam Warlock's.
Yeah. The mom DNA
something.
Creator. Yeah.
What did the girl, gold chick, what was she called in this movie? They called her something else. In the comic
Queen
book,
of the
she's
Sovereign.
Known as... She's known as Her.
Yeah.
Just like Adam Warlock is known as Him.
Yeah.
H-I-M.
No, she was just, I guess, I don't remember what they called her. I think they just called her the Queen of the Sovereign. But,
yeah, because they were referred to her as only in titles, I think. There wasn't an actual, name.
Mm.
Yeah, but either way, you did see the snippet during the credits about her creating Adam Warlock in the pod.
Gonna be...
Yeah, it's like, that's, you know, that's because she needs to get revenge on them, so.
It was Aisha.
Aisha. What it is. She's called Aisha in the comic books as well, but she's usually called Her as well.
And then I like how Howard the Duck shows up.
She's going to make Adam Warlock?
She's incubating Adam Warlock.
Yeah, that was in the...
She wants
the,
to get revenge on Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, because they stole batteries and they disrespected her.
But Aisha's supposed to be a good guy in...
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, you don't cross them. That was the whole thing about the
It wasn't like they're bad people. There's like one of those, like, it was a disrespect to the kingdom or something because Rocket stole batteries from him.
Yeah.
And like they went after him, and then they got Yondu involved to get him, and then it ended up being this whole fracas between Ego and Peter Quill.
Yeah, and then with Nebula there too.
So then like the Sovereigns end up becoming kind of this like side thing, right? And then
is getting overly complicated.
They're playing like asteroids with them or Galaga.
Yeah, it was weird. They did this thing where it's all like there was no. They sent starfighters, but no one's actually in the starfighter. They're like they're remotely controlling it like drones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that allowed them to kind of create this like massive destruction of spaceships without actually killing anybody,
which was actually kind of smart. It was cool. It was like it made like for a nice visual. Everyone's like watching over the last like pilot, and they're like, "Yeah, yeah, you can do it, you can do it." And then he gets shot, killed. Like, you suck. Yeah.
It's weird though. They actually use like they use video game sounds when they're piloting. So like it sounds like you're playing Space Invaders or you know, what is it
Asteroids or is Galaga? Asteroids or
Galaga? Yeah, like any of those like you know the space shooter games. Yeah, so it was very, very reminiscent of that. And the whole series is very reminiscent of that type of stuff, though, like the 80s.
Yeah, like the music and stuff is all 80s inspired.
Well, I think that's a very deliberate stylistic choice. On one point, as you noted earlier, the fact is that Peter Quill hasn't been back since the 80s, right?
Yeah.
You mentioned that. But I also think part of it is why it makes Guardians of the Galaxy somewhat more successful, in my opinion, than Avengers. Is that there's a weird nostalgic quality to Guardians of the Galaxy, even though for many people, Guardians of the Galaxy was introduced with the first movie. Mm-hmm. Most people didn't follow the Guardians of the Galaxy comic book series.
I didn't.
Yeah, they're kind of a smaller series that people follow. Now, they did have hardcore fans, right?
Yeah, anything.
But what made it so successful is that it had a weird familiarity to it.
Yeah.
It was oddly, the story arc, if you actually go watch the original Guardians of the Galaxy that first came out a couple years ago, it's actually not that good, story-wise, narratively-wise. Like, if you follow the narrative, deeply, deeply flawed, right? Yeah. A lot of Deus Ex Machina, a lot of just you kind of go, right? Like, early scenes, somehow, Gamora shows up right when...
You know, Groot and Rocket are there,
and Peter Quill. You know what I mean? Like it's there's a lot of it that's really badly written, right? Just from a narrative perspective, but you immediately get attached to them as the kind of classic ragtag band of superheroes because it's a simple story structure, not overly complicated characters that are compelling, and it's that weird 80s nostalgia. It almost is like it's like. You know, a weird Breakfast at Tiffany's, but with Marvel in space.
You know what the thing is that like so James Gunn deliberately did that because he chooses the soundtrack before he does like the movie. Like so, he picks the songs that he wants,
so that they have
and he
that,
ties it into it.
That's why it has that those songs, the combination of the songs, the atmospherics, and the character development all make it kind of a weird nostalgia, and that's why it's so successful. Shows comic book characters that either. Especially with comic book movies that can tap into that nostalgia or that poke fun at its own genre.
Yeah.
Deadpool, right?
Yeah.
Will break the fatigue.
Yeah.
So that's why it works so well. Because there is comic book fatigue. There is superhero movies in particular people are getting tired of, especially because they take themselves too seriously. It tends to fall into certain
Zack Snyder shit.
Simplistic traps, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so what you need is someone that either blends genres or breaks genres. Guardians of the Galaxy blend genres. It has like a weird coming of age element to it, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, even though he's like a grown
even
man.
Even though he's a grown ass man, right? Or you have Deadpool, who is clearly breaking the genre, poking holes at it, right? The McAvoy or Stewart. Confused, right? Like he becomes a kind of our voice, and so it becomes refreshing. So this is what Guardians does so well. My only thing is that you can only do that so many times.
That's true.
Before, I don't know.
And also, I mean, they're going to release more and more as the years go on, right?
I think he has one more good Guardians movie in him, and then after that, people are going to be like, all right, we're done with this.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really enjoyed it. Like, I'd recommend people watch it. I'd give it a four stars out of five.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I'd say that too. Yeah. I enjoyed it a lot. I'd watch it again.
Four stars is good. Man. The other one I just watched. Did you guys get a chance to watch Wonder Woman yet?
I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
No. Or did you just haven't had time? Is that your excuse?
Yeah.
You, I know you're like boycotting it or some shit.
I'm not, I have no time for it whatsoever. But I also understand where people are coming from who are boycotting
it. Yeah. So before we get into like, do you want to do like a review of the movie or you want to talk about why
people are boycotting it? Go ahead and review it because you watched it. I didn't see it.
So I did. I won't.
Again, spoilers are still in effect.
I'll try to keep it like as spoiler free as I can.
No, it's okay. Well, I already said spoilers.
Okay. But yeah, just in case you haven't seen the movie. But like, I thought the movie was shot really well. I thought the director did a really good job of shooting.
Praise has been pretty high from it.
Yeah, people have really been kind of like this one blew any of the previous DC movies
out of water. All the DC movies post Nolan DC. Yeah. Actually, fuck that. Post Dark Knight DC, this is my favorite DC movie. Because Dark Knight Returns is garbage, right? The when you watch it over again, it's like this movie sucks. But like,
jeez,
I'm fighting words.
Yeah, Dark Knight Rises.
Which one is that?
That's the third one. Yeah. Dark with Knight.
Bane.
Yeah,
with I Bane. Liked it.
It's all right.
Yeah, but it's like the plot holes in that are fucking horrible. Just a lot of the stuff just doesn't make sense.
You're a plot hole.
Like, why would Batman not fucking protect the city for fucking 7 years? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. But anyways, like, so this was my favorite movie since fucking Dark Knight with like the Joker of DC, and I think like it's up there with that movie for like
it's a very DC different movies. Movie
though. It is, it's very different than the other ones, you know, because it takes place in the past, so it takes place in World War One, like and just in Europe in World War One, so they're in Belgium and they're in London as well. Like I like the nod to like Ares and like the Greek mythology and stuff with it.
Mm-hmm.
So like they had like nods to Zeus and Ares.
Well, they
stuff.
Have to, because Wonder Woman embodies that Greek mythology.
Yeah. So like it was.
You don't have Wonder Woman without that.
Right? Yeah. My friend called like the twist, like early on. She's like, "That's what this is, right?" Like she called that.
What's
like,
the twist?
The twist is like that. So like you know like they say like she's there's a god killer weapon, mm-hmm. right?
She's the god killer weapon.
Yeah, but they everyone thinks it's the sword.
Sorry. It's just her.
It's just her. Yeah, she's the god killer.
All right, that's a pretty generic twist.
Generic. Yeah, she called it like right away, and I'm like, yeah, you're right. You know, like,
so what, why were people looking for the god killer weapon or something like
that? No, so she, like Wonder Diana didn't know. She thought it was a sword.
Was there a god that they needed to kill?
Ares.
Oh, Ares.
Yeah. It's always Ares.
Is he in the movie?
Ares is in the movie.
Who plays Ares?
You want to know?
Christopher Pine.
No, you want? It's so random.
Who?
Professor Lupin.
What?
Professor Lupin from Harry Potter.
The Hospitaller from Kingdom of Heaven?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's Ares. So yeah, definitely a spoiler there.
What?
Yeah, he's Ares. All right. Somehow he turns into Ares. Yeah. It's funny.
He was also he was in Dragonheart, I remember, when we were kids.
Yeah, but how does
yeah, they
he's got that voice, that
they
nasally
CGI'd
voice.
Some muscles on him and shit, and they CGI'd muscles on him in like when they were showing him in the past, but then when he becomes Ares like presently, he's got like a whole bunch of like armor and stuff on him. So it's just
he's
his
a
face.
Scrawny guy.
Yeah, it's his face.
There's no way
he's
of
a string
like,
beanie.
There's no way of building that up. Like he can't build up.
Yeah,
he
can't
build
yeah
up
you can't his... be giving them what is it, the Chris Evans abs, or like you know like Chris Evans in the original Captain America, they made him skinny and stuff.
Yeah,
and trying to do the reverse with him.
Yeah. And then like it was cool because they had like a nod to like World War One, and then like you see like
a nod.
It's in
World War One.
Yeah, no, but like you,
it's a World War.
Sorry, they have a nod to like the Ottomans and stuff.
That's because they're in World War One.
I know, but like they have like they're in like Turkey and shit, and it's like
they made the Turks the bad guys.
No, they made like one Dr. Poison. She was like I think she was Turkish, but like it was pretty cool. Yeah, she was making a weapon of mass destruction.
Orientalist bullshit.
I don't know. It was pretty cool. Like I enjoyed it.
It also showed that mascara, right?
Yeah, it showed that mascara, which was nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Her mom is that one German chick, isn't it? Her mom was played by that one German actress. The one that played in The Devil's Advocate. She played Keanu Reeves' sister/lover.
No, that's Charlize Theron.
Nope, not Charlize Theron. Charlize Theron is his wife.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The other devil's daughter, child, is Diana's mom.
Okay, and then I don't know, man. I don't remember fucking Devil's Advocate that much. But her aunt was Jenny from Forrest Gump.
Is it really?
Yeah, so like the one who trains her is Jenny from Forrest Gump. So that's like, I was like, I know this woman, and I read the title.
Wait, is this
like,
the one? Is this the one that the trailer had? Immigrant.
What?
This is a Led Zeppelin's Immigrant was the trailer for this or no?
No, Thor Ragnarok.
Thor Ragnarok
is the one that had
Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah. I got all confused.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I really enjoyed Wonder Woman. I think the director's name is what, Patty Jenkins. She did a really good job. Mm-hmm. I think she deserves more big budget movies. So I was hesitant to watch it.
So you have a big budget female director,
yeah,
with a
female lead.
Female lead,
yeah,
and it does well.
It did really well. I think this was like,
just to show you,
this was like, yeah, the biggest and opening.
It's a super hero movie.
Yeah, yeah. This, right, is the biggest opening DC has done since like this Batman. It's
bullshit PC culture, guys.
Let's just point that out. I just want to point that out. The gender combo, because usually, you know, women are regulated to.
That's true. How much do you want to bet that they all had to prove their nerd cred with people before they were allowed to?
You're not a real nerd.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah. People were hating on her breastplate and shit.
Well, I mean, yeah, obviously they've got to update it and make it look a little bit different. Yeah. It can't exactly be the short skirt.
Yo, Gal Gadot looked really good in the.
So the there is controversy though with this.
Yeah,
movie.
Because of Gal Gadot.
And it's not because of Wonder Woman. There is Wonder Woman controversy too in Mississippi.
What do you mean?
Someplace in the South. They did an all-female screening. They did a women's-only screening.
Oh, I read about that, yeah.
And men got really upset. They're like, how dare you do a women's-only screening? That's just prejudicial. And for the record,
they said sexist. You know, they did not say prejudicial. They said sexist.
They said it was a women's-only screening, and it was only done for like one night.
Yeah.
And so the mayor of the city's like, I understand your concerns. We're going to do women-only screening 6 more times.
Yeah, I know.
So it was a good like FU to the people who were complaining. Because if you think about it, it's only like, you know, gyms, golf clubs,
right?
You know,
country clubs.
God. Man caves.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of men-only spaces.
Strip clubs.
So shut the hell up.
Yeah, fuck off.
Actually, the mayor did really, I think I posted it on our Twitter, actually, because he'd put up a specifically, like, a really virulent letter that got sent to him.
Mm.
And then he had responded to it, and he posted it on Twitter. I think I retweeted it on our account. But it was one of those ones where it's like the tact that he used to just insult the person was, like, so. It was, like, on another level of professionalism that it was just. It was really admirable, actually.
You're bitter that they're having an all woman's showing or a woman only showing. You are an idiot. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to put it out there.
It's true.
You're not even like a. You're not even a good misogynist. You're a dumb misogynist. You know, you're like just a legit dumbass.
Like, is there such thing as a good misogynist?
You know, there's a sophisticated misogynist who are like, misogynist but pretend not to be.
Like what? Like,
you so know, like you.
What?
You know, like you pretend not to be a misogynist, but deep down, yeah, nasty person.
Me too. I'm a nasty person. I'm not a misogynist. There's a difference.
That's what he says.
I'm a piece of shit.
Ask his ex.
But I am not a misogynist. My exes love me.
Oh my God. I slid it in there. Ask his exes.
Let's ask your exes.
My exes think I'm a god.
Let's ask V's exes.
Well, so second controversy.
You're a dick. I'm sure there's one girl out there.
Second controversy of Wonder Woman is not about Wonder Woman at all. It's actually about Gal Gadot.
Gadot.
So Gal Gadot is an Israeli actress who's become popular thanks to Wonder Woman. She has been in a couple movies.
Fast and Furious.
She was also in that movie with Rachel Adams.
Rachel McAdams.
McAdams, I think, where she was, and Zach Galifianakis, where her and her husband were spies and they were neighbors to these ordinary couples.
Keep up with the Joneses.
That's what it was. Mm. Very good. Very good.
My pop culture, baby.
Aces for you, son.
I'm the movie nerd. I don't know why V claims that shit.
He's taking your title, V.
See, I don't. I haven't claimed any of that stuff in months. And somehow you just kind of...
I'm your comic book and movie nerd. No, motherfucker. I'm the movie nerd.
Okay, all right. Don't relax. Seriously. So anyways, she's become quite famous. She's become really famous thanks to Wonder Woman, right?
Yeah.
She even stole the show in Batman v Superman.
Mm, yeah,
right? Definitely.
She was considered to be the best part
No. I thought Ben Affleck did a great job as Batman.
People thought Ben Affleck did a lot better than they expected. But hands down, people said...
People Wonder applauded Woman, when she showed up.
Yeah,
when she
Wonder
blocked
Woman
that Doomsday
was like
thing.
The thing, right?
I applauded when she showed up.
Anyways, The controversy around Gal Gadot is that, like all Israeli citizens, she has to serve in the military.
Yes.
So she served in the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces.
Uh-huh.
But she served during the war with Lebanon.
Yes, in 06.
In 06. And she's very proud of her service in Lebanon and in the IDF and is a pro-IDF supporter.
Yeah.
Now, for a lot of activists and especially women from the third world and women of color, you can't call yourself a feminist and be part of a patriarchal military structure that destroys and degrades female bodies, right?
Yeah.
So there's an argument within feminism itself, right?
Yeah.
Early waves of feminism, for example, argues that a woman that participates in the military is breaking barriers, right? Then you have third wave feminism that would go, no, a woman participating in the military is still participating in a patriarchal institution.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
She's masculinized. She's not rewarded or successful because of her feminine qualities or being a woman. She has to actually perform maleness. This is the kind of internal debate between second wave and third wave feminism. We see this
first wave or second wave?
Second wave. First wave is the suffragettes.
Okay.
Second wave is a good example is Hillary Clinton.
Okay.
Right? So women who are often in male-dominated societies, who are ambitious or male-dominated professions and who are ambitious and who often will perform some element of maleness.
Okay.
Right? So what's Hillary Clinton famous for? Pantsuits.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So these are power. These are the people who they call them the bitch CEOs. Right.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it's a really horrible because they're ambitious or because they show male,
like the Carly,
quote unquote
Carly Fiorina.
Remember, this is all, by the way, constructed bullshit. What does it mean to have male attributes? Right. That's societally determined value bullshit. But
yeah,
because they supposedly show male attributes, ambition, drivenness, determination, it's considered bitchy in a female, whereas in a man it's considered masculine and powerful, right?
GTFO.
So that's second wave feminism. Second wave feminism is about women getting into the military, women becoming police. Women can do anything men can do, right? Third wave feminism is about deconstructing patriarchy entirely.
Okay.
So this is where we get, for example, lipstick feminists, people who say you can wear lipstick and wear a bra and a bikini and still be a feminist, right? Mm-hmm. Where second wave goes, no, you're not. You're performing patriarchal beauty standards. Third wave goes, no, we can break those by saying embrace your femaleness, right? Mm-hmm. Embrace what makes you a woman. That being a mother is as equally as important as being a CEO.
Yes.
So third wave feminism in particular, younger generation of feminists that came out of the 90s, and really pushes back against women participating in male-dominated societies that male-dominated industries that destroy female bodies in particular.
Okay.
Military institutions, police force, etc. Right. And so, on one end, her just being part of the IDF is a big deal for a lot of feminists. Going, this is an issue, right? You're participating in what is fundamentally a military apparatus. Then there's an even further one, especially
humanitarian
and women from the global south, right, argue that it's not just that she's part of any military. She's part of a military that is essentially neocolonial, right? The IDF is part of the Israeli apparatus that colonizes Palestinian lands, right? So the IDF doesn't just protect Israel. It also protects things like settlements on the West Bank, which are settlements. I mean, they're literal colonial structures, right? Or that you're part of a war in Lebanon, right? That involves the destruction of brown women. And so there's a big controversy right now, and there's a lot of people that from the feminist side are pushing back against her because there's a conflation going on, right? Because Wonder Woman is a feminist icon, a powerful, strong female who is a superhero in her own right without any connection to other superheroes, right?
Yeah.
Or need to be connected to other superheroes. Because she's a feminist icon, Gal Gadot has become sort of feminist icon, right? That she's kind of is the face of Wonder Woman. And so there are some feminists that are pushing against it. There's obviously Palestinian activists that are really pushing back against this. And so there's been like a boycott movement of
Wonder Woman. In Lebanon.
Lebanon has banned it. Well, but Lebanon has banned it because Israel and Lebanon are still technically at war. They have a ceasefire. The war hasn't ended between them. They're still at war.
They have an armistice.
They have a ceasefire. So there are Palestinian activists who now have included Wonder Woman in the broader BDS,
boycott, Linda Sourasore,
and sanctions movement. Now, the complication goes, well, the money isn't technically funding the IDF. It's not supporting the IDF. So people go, why does it matter? And that's a misunderstanding of what BDS is. It's not just financially withdrawing from anything that supports Israel. It's also a cultural and intellectual boycott, right? So not supporting anyone who's part of the kind of apparatus. It's why some academics won't go and give talks or teach or share their information in Israel, right?
Uh-huh.
Because of this broader boycott movement. So there is a controversy going on. I was interested what you guys thought about it and, you know,
well,
discuss
this
a little bit.
So Gal Gadot gets paid regardless, right? Like, she already made her money, like, from being in the movie. The money that I'm spending doesn't go towards her or, like, Israel at all. It goes to – half of it goes to the studio. The other half goes to the movie theater, right? And for – Reza said it greatly. Like, he said Patty Jenkins is a great female director. And by supporting her, right, by going and watching this movie, you're supporting her. Which means there's going to be more roles for her, like more opportunity for her as a director.
Yeah, but that's coming from a place of real extreme privilege, right? The privilege of saying, and well, if we support her, the end will be good. That the end will have more female directors. That the end will have female directors that do better female movies, etc. But in the meantime, we are still celebrating someone who is... participated in technically massacre.
I'm not celebrating Gal Gadot. I'm celebrating Patty Jenkins.
But how do you distinguish between the two? She's in the movie. You can't say this is what people do with artists, right? That's like saying, "Well, I love this artist. I don't support the fact that he talks about rape, but I support this artist." Like, you can't do that. You can't really distinguish between the two, can you?
Yeah, you can.
It
wasn't Patty Jenkins' decision to make Gal Gadot Wonder Woman. That was Zack Snyder. She was already cast in the role before.
Yeah, but the idea that somehow you can support her without supporting Gal Gadot is bizarre. That's literally trying to have a buffet from this. Like, oh, I like Wonder Woman. I don't like Gal Gadot. But she is Wonder Woman.
She's not. She plays Wonder Woman.
She's in the movie. Is she the lead of the movie? Yes or no? Is she making money from this movie?
She already made the money.
She's still making money.
She made money signing a contract with Warner Brothers. Look at
the part that she made the money. So there's nothing. I'm not contributing to her in any way. Yeah, you are. Residuals. You're giving her all sorts of money.
She doesn't have points. At the end of the day, in reality, if you want to talk about this like in the future bullshit, by you paying for a ticket and making the movie more popular, it almost guarantees that the studio is going to make another movie, which ultimately pays Gal Gadot as well.
But they already have that in the works anyway.
But you don't understand like what the issue here is.
So
like,
now, here's the thing. You've paid money. You paid a ticket. Which V just said, you paid the ticket, right?
Yes.
Gal Gadot is now super successful because of this. That means Gal Gadot will be in other movies, not just Wonder Woman movies, but other major blockbusters. You've supported.
I will boycott those movies.
Her career.
Not this one.
So I'm not saying you should boycott. I'm not in any way, shape, or form. I don't actually have an opinion on this because I think it's more complicated. I need to sit down and think through it, right? But I am also sympathizing and understand where people are coming
from. I get it. I get why people do it.
And I think dismissing it, going, oh, I'm not just. That's a bit of that comes from a place of privilege because you're not immediately affected by the actions of the IDF, right? You can say it from a position of comfort, going, oh, well, the IDF doesn't affect me directly. It doesn't, right?
No.
Even though technically they were on UCI's campus just recently, which is kind of creepy.
That affects you, not me, bro.
They were literally on UCI's campus pushing
coming for you, bro.
Against the Israel Awareness Week, Apartheid Awareness Week. It's really weird. It's like,
yeah.
Having a foreign military troops there in normal plain clothes
coming for you,
it's really kind of like it's something like if any other country did that, you'd be like, okay, hold on a second, bro, that's kind of weird.
I've met people from the IDF before.
Me too.
We travel through Panama a lot, so yes, we stay in the same hostel, right? They got robbed. But, you know, anyway,
they have a connection with Panama too.
Yeah, there are a lot of people, probably people who either are going into the IDF because they got drafted or had just left the IDF.
I had a teacher that who was drafted but refused to go.
Yeah.
Refused to serve.
My friend's mom was in the IDF.
Yeah, it's mandatory.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, if you're an Israeli citizen, and you are, if you're Jewish, you get automatic citizenship, right?
So I have kind of a rough I can't really say definitively how I feel about this because
I'm with you, right?
At one point, you know, I mean, Gal Gadot is a single human being in this bigger cog of things, you know, this bigger machine of things, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I like her. You know, I think she's very talented, and I want to watch Wonder Woman because I've heard great things about it. Mm-hmm. You know, but I also don't support Israel, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you both made sure that I don't.
Motherfucker, like, you eat Sabra hummus.
I don't eat Sabra hummus.
Liar.
I used to. I don't eat it anymore.
I want
to
see your
fridge. Why'd you try to call him out like that, even if he did?
You eat Sabra hummus too, motherfucker.
I don't.
Yeah,
I want to see your fridge.
I eat Sadaf hummus.
Oh.
Sadaf.
But it's because I like the flavor of Sadaf anyways.
It looks the same to me.
But anyway. Oh, jeez.
The level of ignorance on my right side, I'll just say. Mm. It's like,
ignorance on the right. Imagine that. I think the issue for me is that it's like I would support Gal Gadot, right? But I think life is one of these things where it's like sometimes it's just there are forces that you support that are going to use things that you don't support anyway. It's no different from America using Nazi scientists to test out their rocket systems, right? Or, you know, they're protecting people who engaged in the mass genocide, right? But they found use for them. So different from the judicial system using a criminal who is just as guilty to go and catch other criminals because they're like, and they're giving
legal sentences, right? Knowingly, like, here's the thing. There's the and you're absolutely right about that, right? Because it goes into a moral gray zone. But at the end of the day, in most of those cases, minus the missile one, in the criminal case, a criminal gets some type of leniency to catch a bigger criminal.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a moral, we're talking about moral utilitarianism, right? Greater good. We're going back to philosophy and Bentham, right?
Yeah.
Utilitarianism is greatest good, least amount of harm, right? So greatest good there. The question, I think, for the Gal Gadot issue is not just that she, whether to support her or not, right? Because there's a lot of artists that can be problematic, a lot of actors that are problematic. I mean, what, are we never going to watch a Tim Allen movie because he's super conservative?
Yeah.
Right?
Or anything by Mel Gibson?
Or by Mel Gibson.
You know, he just, the new Hacksaw Ridge or whatever just did. Or not Hacksaw Ridge, whatever. Kevin Sorbo. Yeah. Go ahead. Oh, Kevin Sorbo, Hercules?
It's a joke. He's like super evangelical Christian.
Yeah.
he only plays in Christian movies anyways. So anyways, the point is, however, with Gal Gadot, and I think this is why she's become a bit of a firestorm, Hollywood has plenty of people who are pro-Israel.
Yeah.
Right? Who are pretty openly pro-Israel. But what, you know, what's her name? Miam Balik or whatever from Big Bang Theory, right? Very pro-Israel. What makes Gal Gadot kind of unique is not only that she served in the IDF, but she's super pro-IDF.
Yeah.
Right? So she continuously supports. This becomes, for a lot of people, very similar to Black Lives Matter versus Blue Lives Matter, right? Is that you can acknowledge, you can say, I don't want to destroy the police force, right? Mm-hmm. You can acknowledge that the police force is there to protect you from harm, but when you go to that extra mile of going, Blue Lives Matter, you guys are all evil, right? That's when you've crossed into the other territory. You've crossed into the territory of where you are now supporting the oppressor, right? So that, I think for some people, that's where that line is. It's not just that she is Israeli, right? Because there are other Israeli actors.
Yeah, of course.
It's that she's pro-IDF, that she celebrates the IDF's victories and whatnot.
Because she was in it.
She talks about Palestinians as if they're all terrorists. This, for a lot of people, is crossing the line into...
She said that?
She does. She treats the citizens of Gaza as all Hamas, right? So this is a problem. So it's that crossing of the line. And even then, I think for a lot of people, if her serving in the IDF is enough. They're like, fuck that. I'm done. So I'm in a kind of weird position like you. Is
y'all gonna bootleg that shit.
I don't have a solid opinion on this because it's complicated. But I do lean and sympathize with the people who are saying, yeah, we're not okay with this.
Yeah.
Because I can get where they're coming from.
I still watched it, though.
Well, just imagine it's
But see, you're a witness, not an ally. I've always said that.
Like, oh, man.
I've always believed you. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Steps, right? Everyone works their way up. You're not a true full-on ally. You're a witness. So, like, if crime happens, you're good on the witness stand. I saw it with my own eyes. But you're not the one that gets in there and defends people. You wouldn't jump in.
Yeah. You don't want to get stabbed on a train.
That's
bullshit.
You're a witness, not an ally. Especially when it comes to, like, even when it comes to the feminist things, right? How so? You're a male witness, so you do you would testify to misogyny. You go, there is misogyny, there is this.
It's not true.
Would you take a pay cut?
Yeah.
Well, why haven't you then?
Because my company pays women the same.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't. Go look up Verizon. They don't.
Dude, what do you mean they don't? They all don't. My fucking coworkers get paid the same.
No, they don't.
All my coworkers get paid the same.
The company wine, Verizon Wireless does not.
Our freaking head is a woman.
I understand that.
Betsy DeVos is a woman, too.
Are we really going to have this conversation about how patriarchy works? Yeah. My colleagues get the pay, say my boss is a woman. Yeah. That's totally.
Is that the whole, like, we're not racist because we had a black president thing?
On, but I
might as well say the same thing.
Your company. Oh, were we not supposed to mention your company?
I don't give a shit.
Okay. Your company does pay women less.
How? In what aspect?
It's already been audited. All of these major companies, it's not unique to your company. I'm not singling yours out. All the cell phone carriers pay women less.
I'll take a pay cut if it's going
to... So that's the difference between, right?
I didn't know they paid women less.
I'm just saying, fact that you didn't know means you're a witness.
How?
An ally would have gone in and gone, what are the differences that in pay? Why am I? And would have made... And this is the argument that's being made, right? So feminist men don't expect to have space in feminist spaces. They make every space they go into feminist. So you would go in as an ally and make it equitable. That's why you're a witness, not an ally.
Does UCI pay women less than men?
Yes, and I do take a smaller cut.
Get the fuck out of here.
I take a smaller cut of what I make.
I call bullshit.
I also refuse to serve on all male panels. I am part of an open public forum of male scholars where we even reference, when people come to us, we go seek out scholar so-and-so who's a female. So not only have we we're part of a group of males that actually do get paid the exact same amount as our female counterparts do, and who also
paid the exact same amount as my female counterparts.
That we never take up a female space.
My female counterparts get paid the exact same as me.
We're very clear on where we stand as allies versus witness.
Bullshit.
But most men are witnesses. It's not a bad thing. That's just the reality of it. It means you have more work to do. So this is where the Gal Gadot thing comes in. Right, the Gal Gadot is that a lot of people can sympathize, and here I feel like I'm more of a witness than I am an ally with this, is because I acknowledge it, but I haven't gotten to that point where I'm like, yeah, I agree, yeah. I'm gonna boycott her, because I think I come from a level of privilege too. Here in Southern California, I don't live the everyday realities of colonialism.
That's true.
Right? Of occupation. Yeah. I don't live those realities. And because I can distance myself from it, I can go, well, maybe I can watch the movie.
Yeah. That's right? True.
One movie.
We're fortunate enough to not have to deal with the colonialism that happened in this country, really, because it's technically been 200 some odd years of that type of oppressive colonialism, right, the way that it is. You know, we're not being whipped by Franciscan monks and shit to become Catholics or anything like that.
Wow. I was.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. We do have remnants of it still. What, San Junipero?
Junipero Serra, San Juan Capistrano.
San Juan Capistrano.
San Luis Obispo. Still,
edifice of an era where they literally whipped people.
It's right down the street.
It's not that far away.
Yeah.
And it's a tourist attraction, but people forget that.
I guess where you go to get steaks.
Yeah, you go. Well, I go across the street.
Yeah, you don't get steaks.
Not that the mission was here. That's like another. Who goes to a mission to get steaks?
I don't know. You might go.
That's actually really funny.
Yeah. It's consecrated.
But it's like we just take it
for granted. I didn't mean meat steaks. I meant like actual stakes.
Oh, when he goes vampire killing. Okay,
So, like, all of us in Orange County just take it for granted that there's this mission down there. It's this cool, like, we all did a middle school project or an elementary school project.
Elementary school,
right?
Fifth grade.
But the reality is, like, that mission is a place of, like, horrible treatment of indigenous people.
That's why it's like the most one of those haunted places in Orange County.
I am so much better than you guys. You know why? Because I never went there for middle school or high school.
Yeah.
I went to plantations.
You went to Robert E. Lee High School.
Like, oh no.
Right?
Hey, my people didn't force people to become Christian. We just forced them to pick cotton and tobacco. That's what they made me do.
Okay, I think the moral of this episode,
America sucks.
This is a piece of shit.
There's a lot of work to do in order to be a real activist and ally.
But we had a black president, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, we got a lot of work. Every Every step you take, you're stepping into a plantation.
Yes.
You're and supporting some you colonizer. You're supporting some imperialist.
We live on Native American burial grounds.
Well, I think we should end the episode with a mention of real allyship, right? Since we've talked about witness and allyship, of what happened just recently in Portland, right?
Yeah.
Just only a couple of weeks ago.
So, essentially, what happened in you know Portland's is it? I think it's PAX.
They're like railway system or
yeah. Areas? So there was a guy named Jeremy Joseph Christian, who was basically yelling and kind of accosting two women, two minority women. One was wearing a hijab, mm-hmm. and he was you know just screaming all sorts of ridiculous stuff. You know, pay taxes, get out of my country, get the fuck out, this type of stuff. When two gentlemen essentially came up,
there's three.
Huh?
Three gentlemen. Technically.
Oh, two. Yeah. Two got stabbed, right? Yeah. So,
no, all three of them got stabbed.
Two died. So, one of them, young guy, I think it's Taliesin?
Mirdan
Namkai Mech. He was 23 years old. And the other guy who had passed was Ricky John Best, who was 53.
Republican, we should note.
Yeah. So, you know, they were basically trying to get him off board.
Yeah.
Right? There was nothing like they weren't being particularly violent.
You wanted him to back off the women.
And then he, you know, his dick all of a sudden shriveled up inside of him and he went, well, you know, do something. Mind you, he was drinking sangria at the time.
Yeah.
And he pulled out, he had a pocket knife or something and he stabbed one of them in the neck and then another one twice in the back.
Yeah.
Killing them.
You know? Both Rick Best and Mirdan were killed.
Yeah.
Defending these two women.
The other person was in critical condition and is still in critical condition, but they're gonna survive. But you know,
yeah. And what's crazy is that you know one of them you hear a kind of a recalling of what happened with the lady, and she posted up on Facebook. I remember reading this, and she was holding this Mech or Mirdan, like you know, she was holding him, and he actually told her. Tell everyone on this train I love them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's nuts to think about because now this Jeremy Joseph Christian guy, you know, they caught him. He's
unapologetic.
He actually said, I hope the people that I stabbed died.
Yeah, and then when you call it terrorism, I call it patriotism.
Yeah. Right. So and he also talked about
there's no safe
freedom
spaces.
Of speech.
Yeah. Well, he's a free speech. He's part of that crew of Trump supporters that have somehow assumed that free speech means you should be making Nazi salutes. And so they've been defending Nazis in Berkeley. So he was in Berkeley a couple times fighting against what he calls the Antifa. Now, there's something quite fascinating about when you're against a group of people who are the anti-fascists, right? It just tells you where you are. The anti-fascists literally are against fascism. And you're fighting them? That means you're supporting fascism. That's what you are.
Yeah.
And so there's this weird thing of these kind of so-called free speech people who think that they're somehow patriots, but at the end of the day end up supporting racism, bigotry, hate, and fascism and Nazism, like legit Nazis and people who are white supremacist, KKK members, Zeke Heil people. They end up being those defenders. And this is what this Jeremy Christian guy ends up being. Mm-hmm. He's not a free speech patriot. He's a white supremacist. He's a white supremacist who attacked two women of color who were vulnerable, and when men stepped up to protect them across political spectrum, a Republican and a Democrat, he stabbed both of them and killed them. Before we end this, we should note that more people have been killed by Trump supporters in 2017 in the United States than there have Muslim terrorists. 2017 has been more Trump support, white supremacist terrorist acts than any refugee terrorism, any Muslim terrorism, any other form of religious terrorism in the United States. So that's something to point out, and we've heard nothing from Donald Trump.
I know,
but both of these are examples of people who ended up being not just witnesses, but allies who stepped up and really fought for people.
Come on. I mean, do you expect anything different? They don't give a fuck about us, bro. I mean, let's be real. Manchester happened, right? The whole fucking world mourned for Manchester, as they should have, right?
Horrible.
Right? How many people died in Kabul last week?
A lot.
How many people were injured in Kabul?
The two blasts in Kabul, and then there was one that just happened today
in
Herat, were the two largest attacks in Kabul since 2001.
Yeah.
So since the war started, this is the largest attack that's happened And this is just right after the mother of all bombs. So clearly, the mother of all bombs did nothing other than give birth to new terrorism. Like most of us said it would. It did nothing to curb the terrorists in any way, shape, or form.
But let's be real. All right? How many people on your timeline that weren't Afghan talked about that?
Look, the horrors of Manchester and London were without a doubt horrors and things that we condemned on Twitter and on Facebook very openly. But no one really talks about Kabul. And that's because violence that happens in the third world, violence that happens to brown bodies, is run-of-the-mill violence. So people, we've always said, they are always at war. They've been fighting forever. So we normalize that sort of violence. Whereas when that violence creeps up into our world, the Western world, Europe, etc., whatever we want to call it, that is seen as an aberration. And that discourse is something that we need to challenge. And we have in the past. For those of you who have been following us for a while, you should definitely check out our conversation about Charlie Hebdo. You should look at our previous discussions about terrorism. This is something we've discussed quite intensely about the difference of coverage of why certain things are covered and why not. So we wanted to end this with our heartfelt solidarity with the people who died in Portland, against white supremacist violence, with the people in Manchester and London who are facing horrific terrorism, and with the people of Afghanistan, Kabul, and Herat in particular, as well as in Baghdad, where during Ramadan, a bomb blew up during an ice cream shop, killing children seeking ice cream. The world is a cruel and heartless place, but hopefully Currently Nerdy makes it a little bit better for you all.
Maybe.
And on that note, Diz, why don't you take us out?
Yeah, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/currentlynerdy. Go on there, like our page. Twitter, @currentlynerdy. Tweet us, subscribe. We're on YouTube. Search us. Search Currently Nerdy on YouTube, and you can find us there. We have a new podcast called Head on History on iTunes. It should be on Stitcher and Google Play soon, so look for that. New episode should be coming out soon. The first episode is already out. If you want to get a hold of us individually, you can. V, how can they get a hold of us?
Of course.
A hold of you.
If you're in D.C. Next week, I will be at AwesomeCon. So come by and check me out at the T-Turtle booth. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram at VTran214. That's VYTRAN214. You can find me on my website at thesandwichslayer.com. Ali?
You can catch me on website at aliolomi.com, aliolomi.com, or on Instagram and Twitter at aaolomi. And if you use the hashtag HeadOnHistory, you can interact with me as I go through this new podcast. Diz.
Find me everywhere at DizBulla. Omar, go visit V in DC because he's there.
For everyone here at Currently Nerdy, thank you for tuning in. And remember, stay smart, sexy, nerdy.
And we love you.